If I were to say Jardiloo, would you know what it means? Well, it appears the good folk in Scotland probably wouldn't know either, even though it is a Scottish word. Jardiloo is the traditional Edinburgh warning cry for slops about to be thrown into the street. It's one of 800 words listed in a Scots dictionary that until very recently was thought lost. The incomplete dictionary, written in the late 18th century, was the work of famous Scottish author James Boswell. And Dr. Susan Rennie, a leading expert in the Scots language, happened upon his dictionary purely by chance. Susan Rennie joins us now from Edinburgh. Welcome to the Book Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Susan, you managed to find a very important missing piece of Scottish history. So for a Scots lexicographer, that must have been like sort of hitting the ultimate jackpot. What was it like?
It was very exciting. I was looking in the papers of a different lexicographer, John Jameson, who was the following generation from Boswell. And so I was expecting to find exciting things amongst his papers, and then to find Boswell's dictionary, which I had known about but believed was lost, was tremendously exciting.
Well, what did you notice? I mean, how did you determine that Boswell's handwriting was in amongst the Jameson papers?
Well, this manuscript had been attached to a little advertisement for Jameson's dictionary that Jameson had printed. And I now think that possibly a bookseller in the 19th century or a collector had put the two together mistakenly, thinking that this was Jameson's writing. And it was clearly not Jameson's writing. That was the first thing that I noticed, because I'd done quite a bit of work on Jameson. So at first I was a little bit disappointed, because I thought, oh, it's not Jameson's notes. But then when I started reading, I started to get very excited. I thought, could this was certainly an early Scottish dictionary, but at first wasn't sure it was Boswell's, but there were a few clues within it that made me think it might be.
What were the clues?
Well, one was that some of the definitions for the words were written in French, and I knew that Boswell, when he had been on his European tour in the 1760s, had been practicing French, and he had written every day in his journal sections in French, particularly when he was describing a scheme of his plan for the Scottish dictionary. He wrote all those sections in French. So that was a bit of a warning light that, you know, it could just be Boswell's manuscript.
Well, just remind us about Boswell, because he was an important figure in 18th century Scottish literature. In some ways, he's the father of modern biography and of the memoir, but he's best known for writing the biography of Samuel Johnson, isn't he?
Yes, he is. That's certainly what he's best known for. Although since around the 1950s, his own personal journals, memoirs have been published, and they're still being published. It's a massive publication project. His papers are now at Yale, at the Beinecke Library at Yale. So since that time, he's also been known equally, I think, as a great memoirist, great journalist in his own right.
What kind of a person do his journals paint him as? I mean, what sort of a person do we get to know?
Well, they're for a modern reader, they're perhaps surprisingly confessional. I mean, they weren't intended to be published in that form. I think Boswell at one point had thought he might publish sections of them, and of course he used them, parts of them, to write his great biography of Johnson. But the more personal parts were not intended for publication at the time. So they're very confessional, very, very personal. They give a picture of his own moods. He suffered from intermittent depression, and they're very frank about that, about the way that he used his own feelings, and also things like his own encounters with the society of the day. Lots of fascinating details about 18th century London, great literary figures who he met, and political figures who he met, and of course his own amorous encounters in the capital and so on. So they're very lively. His London Journal especially is a very lively account.
Well, Susan Rennie, why did James Boswell set out to write a Scots dictionary?
Well, Boswell saw the Scots language as being very much in decline. He thought that it was dying out. And in fact, I think he would be very surprised that a number of the words that he recorded in this manuscript are still very much used in Scotland. I think that would have surprised him quite a bit, because he thought he was recording the dying embers of a language that was being pushed out by Standard English. So that was, it was very much an exercise in preservation, preserving Scots. He said in his journals that he wanted to be able to record Scots so that future generations could look at his dictionary as they would look up a Latin dictionary and be able to understand old text in Scots from a dead language.
Give us an example of some of the words he was writing down.
Okay, well, there are some words which are very much still in use in Scotland, things like clarty. I don't know if any of your listeners who have Scots connections might recognise that one. Clarty meaning dirty. Very common Scots word. Also, doup, which for the backside, buttocks, that's still very much used in Scots, but Boswell also records that it was used for the end of a candle, so the butt of a candle end as well. And that's one of those words that he defines in French, actually. darg. Now, I do know that darg was used in Australia at one point, I believe. I'm not sure if it's still.
How do you spell that?
D-A-R-G, darg, meaning a day's work. A day's darg.
Haven't heard that. Hasn't been used in my lifetime, I don't think.
No, it's probably more historical, I think. But I think that did make it over. Keek, which is a word meaning to peep. That's another common Scots word. All these are in this the early sections of his manuscript. Then he does have some rarer Scots terms also. There's one, blotters, which means brambleberries. And those are, that's a word which is very rare. There's only one other example of that we have, which is from the 1830s. So that's really interesting for linguists to see that that word is being used in the 1760s.
Now, do we know why he never finished the dictionary?
Well, he seemed to, I think he became interested in so many other things. I mean, he started this dictionary when he was on a European tour. He was studying law in Holland, and that's when he was the first sort of enthusiasm for the dictionary was then. He first came up with the idea, and he carried on as he was travelling through Europe. But then other things attracted his attention. He went to Corsica, and he wrote an account of the revolution in Corsica there, and that became, he published that when he came back to London, that took up his time and energy. And then eventually, of course, he started this great biography of Johnson, which absolutely took up all his time and thought. So although he seemed to still be thinking intermittently about the dictionary, maybe up until late 1770s, by then it was really, had more or less stopped working on it. I think he just simply didn't have the time to work on a major dictionary of Scots and a major biography. Just, I don't think anybody could have done that.
So what are you going to do with it? What are you doing? What's your work on the dictionary involve at the moment?
Well, at the moment I'm transcribing the pages. That's my first task. So although it's relatively short, they are very, very full. Each page is chock full of writing on both sides. So there are notes on around 800 Scots words there. So some parts are quite clear, but as you can imagine with an 18th century manuscript, some parts are much scrappier. There were his rougher notes, so that's going to take quite a bit of work. And I'm very fortunate that I've got connections with Boswell scholars here. There's Dr. William Zaks, who's working on an edition of Boswell's letters, is here in Edinburgh and has been very helpful, and also the Dr. Gordon Turnbull at Yale, who's the chief editor of the Boswell papers there. They've been very helpful. So I am with consultations with other scholars, I'm going to be working on the transcriptions. And then also I'm going to try and produce an edition of this so that I can see where each of these words are, which of the words are perhaps now the first instance of the word we know, or if this is a rare term, compare it to the information we already know in Scots and see why it's significant. But also trying to put together the history of its extraordinary life of this manuscript, because after it was sold with Boswell's son's library in 1825. It was then lost. And the first instance I have of it popping up again is in 1859. I'm trying to piece together that complete history of the manuscript, how it came to be lost, how it came to be misattributed to John Jameson. And that's a fascinating story, I think, which involves the book trade in London and elsewhere.
Well, there has been a resurgence of interest in Boswell in Scotland. In fact, the first ever Boswell Book Festival is being held this month. Yes. And you've got a website, a Boswell website that you've started.
Right. Yes, it's at boswellian.com, and that's specifically for my project on the manuscript. So it, at the moment, gives up a little bit of background about Boswell's plans for the manuscript and how it was rediscovered. And I'm hoping to put up, as my research progresses, I'm going to be putting up some rough transcriptions and also a little section, I thought, on interesting words in the manuscript. So things like bubbly jock, which is the word for turkey cock, and it's quite a nice word. I'm going to have little essays, mini essays on each of those interesting words.
Well, it sounds fantastic, and good on you, and how exciting. And Dr. Susan Rennie, thank you so much for joining us on The Book Show today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Susan Rennie, a leading expert on the Scots language. You're on The Book Show with me, Ramona Koval, and we're all on ABC Radio National.